Have you all invite you all back in, and we have the health department, and Frank is here. He has a suit on, and we're ready to go. Go ahead. All right. Good evening. Okay. Good.
Which one?
All right. Excellent. Well, thank you all. Good evening. We're happy to be here. Well, as happy as we can be. At least this year, hopefully the message and what we're talking about is a little different than last year. So what you'll see in front of us is our overall budget, both 2012's as well as the recommended for 2013. Obviously, there's significant changes, and you're going to see this theme throughout everything we talk about. The numbers are different because the CHA is gone, both on the expenditure side and on the revenue side. And you see the overall net local change. So, unfortunately, a lot of the little things that have gotten done in the budget this year kind of get wrapped up in those larger numbers when you look at the totals. But we'll talk a little bit about some of the impacts that we've been facing and what we're doing to try to address them. All right, some of the influences, probably the first bullet should be the CHA. Not having that in the budget and the changes that have occurred within the department as staff have shifted into new roles and the programs that had been shrinking and been small while we were waiting for the CHA situation to conclude are now starting to man up and understand how the programs are going to look and trying to evaluate our new revenue streams and in some cases new areas where we will see less revenue. Some big things that have happened that are impacting us this year, our Children with Special Care Needs program has seen some reductions in revenue because of the way the state is allowing us to bill. So as you can imagine, in a medical type situation, we're able to bill for certain things that we do, but typically the administrative costs, we are not. And so as they've changed the things that they will consider direct service versus administration, obviously it made our program start to lose revenue because we were coding things a particular way and we were getting reimbursed for it. So that was a revenue reduction that we saw. The good news in that is that staff has gone back and they've looked at how they can do things differently in order to fix that. Because obviously the work that we're doing is to provide services to the children and their families. And we want to make sure that we are doing the appropriate thing and coding things the appropriate way. But the change was made to reduce the cost to Medicaid, and so we aren't able to recoup the total in those changes. Another big situation that we're dealing with, which is a very unknown at this point, is the state is taking over the contracting for our providers in early intervention. So right now, if you provide early intervention services, you have a contract with the county to be able to do that, so you're able to be reimbursed. The state is taking over that function. And in doing so, they're taking back some of the administrative dollars that they gave us to do it. Now, that being said, they're planning to start doing this on January 1st, and the RFP is not yet out for the new fiscal manager for the state. And so I'm not comfortable removing staff or reducing that program until I know what the full impact of what the state's going to be able to do. Because we honestly believe that even once the state takes over fully, we're still going to have to work with our local providers to help them navigate the state system to be able to provide services. So that is a revenue reduction, but we're not yet prepared to make any programmatic changes until we see how that unfolds, probably not till 2014. We've also seen a loss in revenues for our in-home nursing services. mainly our moms program. If you'll remember during the child discussion, we talked about some of the things that we billed for, and we were allowed to bill for at a certain rate because we were a CHA. Well, this is now where that's showing up, and we're seeing reduced rates of reimbursement because we're no longer at the level of a CHA. We're becoming a licensed ELIXA. I'll get the letters wrong if I try to say it. So that's a change for us. The nursing staff obviously is looking at ways to maximize what we're doing, and because we had significantly shrunk that program because of lack of nurses when the CHA situation was happening, we're still trying to figure out how that's fully going to work and look, and the group, the nurses and their leadership are looking at what's going to be the most effective way to move forward. But for next year, it is going to be an impact that we'll see. One thing that we did want to point out from a revenue side, we did increase our environmental health fees about 5% across the board. It's not exact on every fee because we tried to make it, round numbers and those kind of things, but it is pretty much close to a 5% fee increase within environmental health. Staffing, obviously, again, you see the drop-off, but 15 of those positions are due to the CHA closure. In order to stay within the 2013 target we were given, there was an additional FTE reduction that we did propose for an OTR and was recommended by Joe. So the target would put us at 64 people with Joe's FTEs, and with Joe's recommended budget, it would put us whole minus the CHA staff that are no longer with us. All right. These are our OTRs that are presented. The first one is that FTE that we reduced. We obviously went through the budget line by line with our division directors and reduced everywhere that we could, but ultimately we still had a large enough number left that the only way we'd be able to achieve target is with staffing reductions. And so that information aid position is the person that sits at our front desk that welcomes people when they come in, as well as answers our main phone number when somebody calls to the health department. We certainly do not want to be without that position, but in evaluating all of the opportunities where we could have potential savings, we felt like this was the place that we could do it that would not make a direct impact on service provision in a particular program. What it will affect is that our administrative staff around the building would need to support that role. And so it will take them some portions of their day away from their normal duties. But Joe has recommended that be included in his budget, and so that's a little over $40,000 for that position. The second OTR, as you can see, we are still funding our computer and other equipment through rollover dollars. There is very little in our target budget, and that's part of one of the tools that we've been using over the last several years to stay as whole as we could, is to use those one-time expenses and pull the money from rollover in order to fund it. And then the third OTR that's up there, I'm hoping will not be a 2013 budget item, but will be a 2012 decision. That is a new environmental health software program that will essentially move over the next 5 years, our environmental health department into a paperless environment. Everything from a public portal to paperless shifting through the office, as well as field work on tablets away from the office. So it is a large project, and you'll be seeing a lot more information about that. Its next step is the normal Budget and Capital Committee for approval to move rollover into a fund to fund that in 2012. What will still remain, even if that is approved through rollover, is a $16,000 target increase request, and that's for the ongoing maintenance of that program. In this proposal, we've tried to include every possible cost that we could imagine, and we do know that once the program is up and running, there will be ongoing maintenance costs to the tune of approximately $16,000 to keep the system updated and provide us the necessary training as it evolves over time. And so that is our last slide. I am certainly open to any questions.
Pam.
Yes, I apologize if you said this because I missed it because I didn't hear it. The information aid position, what is that for?
It's our front desk person. If you've been to the office, she sits behind the glass when you first walk in the door, and she also answers our phone as well as other administrative stuff in between those duties that she provides
and,
for us.
And you don't have one now?
I do have one. It would be a layoff.
I'm sorry?
I do have someone in that position, and it would be a layoff if not funded.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Brian?
Yeah. You confused me just a little bit. I thought I had it from what I read there. $16,000 that you have in the OTR up above, this year is going to be funded. I see it's an ongoing expense. It's going to be funded by rollover dollars this year, and then next year we're putting it into the budget. Is that what I heard you say?
No. The $16,000 is target beginning 2013 because we want to make sure. We expect if the project unfolds that we will have a portion of it, our sewage program, which is where we're starting, up and running within 2013, and that ongoing maintenance will occur before 2014 gets here. It is in the total cost, the 301, but 285,716, we're asking to use rollover. The 16,000 would be in target.
The 285 is this year. But when we put the budget together, we weren't sure where this request was going to be in the queue. So right now it was approved by a committee. It's going to go to another committee. If the full legislature approves the acquisition of the software this year, $285,000 will come out of the 2013 budget. So that will not be an expenditure in 2013. Mm-hmm. Instead, they'll use existing rollover to pay for it in 2012. What will stay with the 2013 budget is that ongoing annual maintenance expense.
Okay.
We don't want to cut that out.
Right.
Good. Well, last one. Mark,
Frank, there's one key part of what you're talking about, the information aid position, for me that stands out. If I remember, these are the positions that were created that did not have to go through the civil service system. They were entry level, but they still, were well-paying jobs for people who had difficulty with the civil service exams. It allowed for departments to be able to reach a more diverse staff, and right now there is a woman of color in that position mm-hmm. at the front desk. I was very happy to walk in there and be greeted by her. So, you know, it's important for me that as we look through where things can happen, to remember that the reason behind these positions is to allow us in our diversity and inclusion efforts in all our departments. So, you know, in my head, it shouldn't rank that low on our priority list, and I'm happy to see that it was funded, Joe. Especially with someone, I don't know, continue to be a woman of color in that position, but someone who I know personally has struggled to find a job in this community and wants to stay here and raise her family. My next question is, and in general, I'm just hoping that all departments will really be looking at and keeping diversity and inclusion in mind as they consider where things are being cut. Joe, I'm a little confused on the over target numbers. I was looking at page 151, and just help me out here. There's salary and wages, and then I'm sure there's fringe that comes with this. And then 167, the OTR is 4392 on 167. The salary and wages OTR on 151 is 36,843. Is the fringe somewhere on the bottom line?
That's a good question. The fringe is in the bottom line. So when you look at the fringe account, it has a separate allocation for that position. But I'm looking at...
Well, that's a lot of money if it's that position. That does not add up to 40,392.
Give us a few minutes.
There's more included in that. In the environmental health project, mm-hmm. there are increased hours that we built into that total that would be part of our total OTR for both hours and fringe.
Okay. So now I go to page 167, and usually when we have an OTR for a position, it says what's the fringe and what's the salary in that position. But that does not show up on 167, so I've got two big numbers, and I'm not sure what they are.
On page 167?
Yeah.
The top set of numbers, 4010-58800,
mm-hmm.
is the fringe for the information aid.
Mm-hmm.
And the next line, ending in 214, is the salary for the information aid.
Okay, then I'm even more confused.
So that's the 4392 is for the information
uh-huh.
aid. Then if you go to the third... third priority, which is page 168.
Uh-huh.
If you look at 4090, the second line, 58800,
uh-huh.
the estimated fringe for the increased hours is 6,833. And the salary are the last two lines, ending in 595 and 529. It's two separate positions.
But
those two salary figures of 6543, 4960. Those three lines plus the first priority should total the OTRs, salary and wage, and the fringe line, which is on page 151.
These numbers say one time on 168.
That's correct.
So that's a one-time fringe adjustment is what you're saying?
Right. We expect one-time... increase in hours for two positions to implement
uh-huh.
the permit software program. So we propose to use rollover to fund those increased hours on a one-time basis.
I'll have to come back to that if someone else has a question.
I have Martha and Dooley and Pat.
I've got two questions. on your third slide, so it's on our handout tonight, about the admin takeover of contracting on early intervention.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard a lot about it at NYSAC. So this was passed in the state budget this past year, and this was supposed to be mandate relief, right?
Yes.
Okay. So is the theory sort of like the Medicaid administration takeover, where they take over a function and we're supposed to be able to reduce our staffing because
yes.
we're not having people do that? For
yes, them. That's the intent.
Okay. And what you're saying is that they haven't even gotten the RFP out, so you want to keep that staff level in your budget this year for 2013.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any confidence that it will help us out with some of our, when it gets really rolled up, when it's really?
Yes, I think long term the idea is that they're going to take over this service and we will no longer have to provide it. There's certainly a lot of angst because it is a pretty significant change, especially for the providers, because they're used to dealing with us and now they're going to have to deal with the state. But it will happen. They're supposed to be getting up and running January 1st with a full takeover on April 1st. But there's a lot, and we're just wanting to see how it unfolds before we start reducing, because I would be guessing the number of staff that I'm going to be reducing based off of however this progresses for them. I would expect by 2014 there will be consideration of a reduction of service provision locally in response to this happening. I just am not prepared to make that decision in 2013.
Okay, and I want to ask about your cars. I know that the sheriff is purchasing some for his department. Do you have any left? And
everybody wants to know about our cars. We've already reduced the fleet. We sold two or three vehicles at auction that were extremely old, and not in, in the best working order. We've already transferred two vehicles over to the sheriff, and we're in the process. Right now, all of the vehicles that we have are assigned to a person. So now I'm to the point of, Are there ways for us to be more efficient with the use of our fleets? And I believe the answer to that is yes. And I've told the sheriff that I believe we're going to be able to get one, possibly two more vehicles for him just by using our vehicles more effectively in our fleet.
Okay, thank you.
Dooley?
I'm looking at Section 2, Page 8, which is the use of rollover page. I was looking at the health department's numbers, trying to tease out where the use of rollover for what Leslin was asking about, I think, appears. And I can't figure it out. So if you, Jim, or Frank, or Joe can tell me where it is, that would be nice. Is it rollover approved for use in 2012, which is zero?
I believe the budget was put together with the assumption that the rollover would be used in 2013 because the decision had not been approved for us to do that. So in theory, the 303 minus the 17,000 for the computer equipment would shift into 2012, and our recommended use in 2013 would be the 17,300.
So this page may change in the budget.
Okay.
Thank you.
Pat.
Couple questions. I'm still thinking about this information aid position, and I'm trying to imagine, do you anticipate, if you don't have this position, actually assigning administrators to cover that front desk for parts of the day?
I'm sorry.
How would that work?
Not administrators as far as senior level staff. Administrative staff within the department would have to help support the front desk. We would not have somebody at the front desk all day long. It would not happen. We would try to use technology, meaning we would probably have a phone tree when you call the health department. Right now, you get a person no matter what. We would look to the different departments. So say there's a immunizations clinic going on, we would look to bring some administrative staff from the community health program to cover the desk because it would make sense as people are coming in. If WIC has a clinic going on, we may look to have their support. So we would try to strategically use the staff based on what the main things going on in the health department at that time frame were. But there will be times where that front desk would not be manned, and we would use signage and the other staff that are within somewhat of eyesight to help support. And we're hoping to not have to do that, so we haven't gotten into the detail of how we would do it, but it is easier for me to do that than it would be to eliminate an administrative staff within a program because they're higher level administrative folks and the level of work that they're able to do is significantly different than the information aid position.
Okay, thank you. In terms of the early intervention change with the administrative side of it, do we anticipate that there will also be changes or expect that there will be any changes in the way that programming is carried out? I mean, would an example of this type of service be, for instance, with a daycare provider who has a child in their daycare program who receives some kind of services and they have a therapist come? So do we expect that actual carrying out of the service is going to change?
No. At this point, the only thing that this is changing is the contract piece with that provider. So the provider that would go into the home or into the daycare, they currently have a contract with the county to provide those services. What's changing is that they're now going to have they're calling it an agreement, not a contract. I need to change my language. They're going to have an agreement with the state to be able to go in and provide that service and get reimbursed for it. So the administration of those agreements / contracts, that's what's changing. The provision of the service will not.
Okay.
Does that
help?
Leslin, you had your hand up.
I did.
I want to go back to my original question, and Frank, something you said a moment ago is really troubling to me, so maybe we'll have a conversation later. Priority number three, nowhere in there does it indicate to me when I read it, that's why I asked the question I did, that this had to do anything with staff and increase in staff time. It talked all about software. And so, and that's why I was asking, where is that additional fringe coming from? So that may need to change, because now you're saying that it is an increase in staff time, somebody's time.
Correct.
And related fringe.
It is more laid out, and I apologize that it's not in here. It is more laid out in the documentation that's moving along the process for the approval to use the rollover that's happening independent for 2012.
Okay, so that money is coming from rollover?
Correct, because it's a one-time expense.
Right. And I can quantify that if you'd like to. So as I look at priority number three, the OTR for that, it looks like $11,503 in salary. I'm sorry, page 168. If you add up those, and the coding here, those at the very bottom there are two lines. They're coded $51,595. That $51,000 is a salary
line.
That's
a salary line.
Yeah. So there's 11.5 there. The fringes are up above, and that's coded $58,800. It's $6,833. So in terms of the staff commitment to this project, and Frank is right, he tried to fully cost out this proposal, it is a total of about $17,300 between salaries and fringe. And it's not new people. It's hours committed
right.
to the project.
Right. So the salary and fringe, the salary and wages line on 151 reflects both the information aid and the increased hours for those individuals or whoever it is to do that. That's what you're saying.
Yes.
And the 21,000 fringe is the information aid and the 6,000 for those folks. $15,000 seems like an awful lot of money on the fringe end on a $25,000 salary. Am I nuts?
It's a lot. It is. It's approaching 60, what are we, 50?
Thank you. Thank you.
Carol.
Clear.
My question is how do the program summary numbers relate to the main budget numbers? If I added up all of the dollars in the program summaries, would they add up to your budget? And same thing for the FTEs? Or are there, yes?
To the target.
Okay, so the ones that don't.
To the target
money. Okay. And then for those that don't have FTEs, it's because it's covered where the FTE is blank, like early intervention services is blank on my page.
That's
if I just
the,
not
that's the mandate account, and there are no personal services county employees in that account.
Okay. And then do those are those FTEs specific jobs, or might a job be? So if I wanted to figure out what are is the environmental health person director spending her time on, would that be in a specific program here or it divides?
They're divided out
programs. Okay, thank you. And then I will ask a similar question on the impact on your department of for having to oversee potentially the effects of gas drilling. I know you've spent a lot of time on that this year. That wasn't in your budget. What are you hearing coming down the pike on that, and do you need to build something in for that?
At this point, we have not built anything in. Both myself and the environmental health director have absorbed the bulk of the time spent on it. Obviously, some other staff have spent smaller amounts of time, but it's similar to hydrilla. The things that come up that we have to address as they move forward. At this point, there wouldn't be a number to put towards it other than what we've been doing for the last couple of years, which is supporting your efforts to try to better understand what's coming. As far as direct service provision, we're not projecting anything in 2014 in this budget.
Okay. Are you hearing anything coming down the pike as to whether the health department will be considered the agency of responsibility at the local level?
No, we're not hearing anything more than you are. We do have a call scheduled, I think, next week with the Department of Health trying to understand this, but understandably they are very tight-lipped about, you know, what's coming.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you very much, Frank. We will adjourn until the Sheriff's Department gets here.
I had a question.
Go ahead.
It wasn't her. It is about the health department. And it was on page 16, you know, the rollover usage.
Right.
Y'all, please bear with me. Can you please help me understand the health department number summary there?
I can try, and it does, because I double-checked when
Section 2, page 16.
When it came up, I double-checked to make sure it matched up to what's in the health department section. It does. If you look at the health department section, you can see that they're planning to apply in this budget 303.414 in rollover, and that does foot to what this summary says on page 8 of the budget, which is they plan to apply 303.413 in 2013. So what's included in there? The easy part is their desktop computers,
right.
And that was, what, $16,000 or so. And that stays. That's going to be a part of this budget.
Mm-hmm.
The much larger part is the non-recurring part of their new environmental health system, which was that 285. Was that your number?
765.
285.
Right.
So if the legislature approves that in advance of this budget being approved, if you want to get it done and they get approval by the full legislature at your next meeting, for example, we will amend this and we will take out $285,000 or so from the budget, but they'll still be using the same amount of money out of the rollover. It's just most of it will come in 2012 instead of 2013. Still be spending down $303,000 of the rollover. It's when they do that. Did that confuse it or make it clearer?
It made it a little clearer.
Let's try it again then.
But can you walk with me to page 16 of section 2?
Okay. Right.
So I see a target of 16,000 is what was requested and what's recommended.
Right.
And the rollover amount, that's all.
Right.
Actually, let me back up and ask a different question. Is this reflective of everything you just said and not just priority number 3?
No, I think on page 16 you're seeing priority number 3. So priority 3 says we want to apply $285,000 in 2013 to buy this system.
Okay.
That's what this says. And it also says under local share,
mm-hmm.
we also want some ongoing money, target money of $16,000. So that's what's said here. Now, if you go to the previous page.
Before you go there, so okay. The health department is asking for using their $285,000 plus $16,000 in target.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
I want to use this time.
The sheriff,
he's on at 10 minutes of 8, so I want to use this time, Joe, to answer the question Carol had at the beginning. If you can do it in 12 minutes, or would you rather do it at some other point?
I can do it now if you want me to, if you want to take the sheriff.
All right, that's cool. If he's here, go ahead and get him.
The sheriff?
Kevin, do you want to? See if the sheriff wants to ready to go. Please.
Thank you. break?
Yeah, he's there.
Are we on break?
No, we're going to wait for him to get in. He's outside. He's
well, anybody told him he was going to do something?
Ask him to come in? No, Joe's not going to do that. We're going to bring the sheriff in.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Hey. You're good. Okay, I'll try to make this short so I can go home and go to bed. So.
Hello, Sheriff.
How are we all?
I'm doing well.
Very good. Thank you. I'm doing all right, I guess. So far, anyway. Here you see, obviously, our recommended budget. Our revenues for 2013, if anybody's interested, I'll tell you why that minus $38,000 is there. That has to do with Homeland Security monies, and it was monies that we have not yet received, so therefore, and we don't know how much we will be receiving. Of course, we have no control over that. So that's one of the reasons that's there. Also, I know that the airport probably brought up during their budget about the shortfall from their people. So that will play also with us. So at some point in time, because we'll be getting reimbursed for 15 hours when actually, you know, the person will be there for 16. So that'll have some play into that amount also. We were happy that we were able to reduce some of the overtime costs, obviously. Vehicle maintenance, I think that is somewhat self-explanatory. Now that we're doing some of it with the county, we're hoping to realize some more savings possibly down the road. But right at this point in time, because of the age of the fleet, the vehicle maintenance is still up there at this point in time. Fuel cost, I guess we don't really need to explain that. We all are realizing what that is doing. It was good for the first 4 or 5 months of the year, obviously, but surely it's gotten pretty bad. So, and that has been an issue. I'm hoping that some of the things that we're doing will start to save some gas, but I can't bring the prices down, obviously. Okay, this is our over-target request. I brought it to you last year, and I'm bringing it again this year. We are asking for an executive assistant to the sheriff's office. It's very important for us to have somebody to come in and assist with some of the duties that the sheriff and the undersheriff has, because we are doing things that are very confidential, and we surely could use some help with someone helping us organize our task. But the other thing I want you to understand, this one position that I'm asking for really is two. We need a lot of extra help also inside our civil department, and we've brought that to your attention and how we're behind in certain reportings and that we're mandated to have. And so this person would be shared amongst the undersheriff, myself, and Sergeant Zingapus, who's here with me tonight from the civil service department. Or not civil service, excuse me, the civil department. Place up. We did ask for four vehicles. I guess now we'll go with two. The maintenance of the fleet, it was always at a 4 to 5 cars a year. The last 2 years, last year and this year, we've been able to maneuver and do some creative thinking in our department, and we've been able to maintain the fleet relatively good. But at some point in time in the near future, hopefully maybe next year, we can get on the level of at least 4 cars a year because that's what it's going to take to maintain the fleet and keep that maintenance cost down. All right, as I explained, the current staffing levels do not allow us to keep up with our daily operations in the civil division. And you can see there was a study in 203 that stated that we needed 5 civilian employees We now have three. At one point in time, we did have five in that office. One retired just before I took over as sheriff. That person was not replaced, but I know that the previous administration said that that might have to be revisited, and I have to agree with that. It does need to be revisited, and that's why we're revisiting it right now, because we do need it. Crime reporting is currently 18 months down or backlogged. That's crucial for a couple reasons. One, the state doesn't appreciate it, and they've already sent us a letter telling us so. But it also can play into grants and extra fundings, too. If we're not keeping our stats current, it surely can play into the decision on if we're going to get grants or not when we're not showing exactly accurate records of what we have been doing. So that's really important. And as I stated, the executive support for our administration. Derek and myself and the captain spend a lot of time doing some extra duties in the administration that could really be alleviated by having this position filled. As I stated about the replacement with the vehicles, it was estimated and has been current five cars needed to be replaced. I think last year we replaced, four, or three. Again, this year, like I say, with some creative thinking, everything falls together, we'll do quite well. So we can live with the two vehicles that we went from four down to two, but we'll have to be looking at 2013 to get back on the four to five cars. You can see here the one change from 42 to 43 would be that the position that we've requested. So. The jail budget, pretty much other than some contractual things with the union, has stayed status quo. The increase, I believe, has a lot to do with the contract that we had settled a year ago with them. No increase in staff there. That still obviously stays at status quo. No over-target request in that position in the jail at all. Nothing in correction side. That's it. I will be ready for questions now. Yes, Pam.
Well, I have a question about the executive assistant here. Is this? I assume this is not a civil service position.
That's correct, right? At this point in time, it is not.
And it seems, the salary seems quite high to me. I mean, it feels like, I don't know what exactly, I mean, it sounded like there was a lot to be done in that position, but it seems, this seems quite high. And perhaps you could talk a little bit about the qualifications you're looking for, and I mean, is there any possibility that you could have a person, a time and a half, you know, time, full time and a part time job out of that amount of money? It feels like, but perhaps the responsibilities are so great that it could.
Well, the responsibilities are, and I'll be honest with you, I believe if my memory serves me correctly, that position was as high as $56,000, I think, something around there, 54, and we dropped it down to 4. Our business, it is very confidential, and Derek is a great secretary, but he's really the undersheriff, and he really works his backside off to keep up with things along with myself.
Right.
And I mean, so I know it sounds high, but to have somebody in order to want to come and work for us with a qualification, and as you know, it is an appointed position, so if I'm not reelected in 2014 or whatever, that person's job would be in jeopardy.
Right.
So it's going to be very difficult to find a good qualified person that's going to want to take that risk, let alone the salary issue also.
So this includes benefits. That's why it's so high.
Well, no, it does not.
It does,
the whole 70, yes. Yes.
70,
yes.
Yeah,
the 70
yeah.
does, yes. Yeah. Right, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you were just looking
okay,
at 40.
I mean, that's
okay,
that
yes,
sense.
It does include the fringes,
okay,
yes.
Thank you.
So.
Peter, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's see. What didn't get funded of your over-target request? What did not get funded?
What did not get funded?
Yeah.
Well, an extra two cars.
The extra two.
Right. And I don't believe we asked for anything else that I can remember.
Only the position, the executive assistant position,
right,
was requested at a higher pay rate than what we've recommended in this budget.
Right.
Okay. So those are the two changes.
But the person, you will get the person that you're looking for, right?
I hope.
You hope. Okay.
Yes. Yes.
So is that going to be enough to reduce the backlog? I mean, do you think when I saw those original numbers there, I thought that was pretty dangerous looking, that you were really far behind on the crime reporting, and that didn't seem very good to me. And when do you think you'll be up to date given this new person?
Well, I can also tell you, even as far as behind we are, we were borrowing from the Dryden Police Department and the Cougar Heights Police Department to help us keep up with the 18 months behind, okay? They were helping us out pretty gratis, okay? So I would turn and ask my sergeant, who's in charge of that, what he might think as far as what we might be able to do to catch up on that 18 months.
Man, I think it's hard for me to put an exact time on it, depending on how the position works out as far as how much time we can devote to each particular project. I mean, it's going to be great to free up somebody's time a lot to focus on that project and get us moving back forward.
I mean, you can't make up 18 months by snapping your fingers, but do you think that a couple of years from now we'll be back to some reasonable backlog?
If I get the staff leveled up, I would say it'd be a lot quicker than that.
Okay. I think we can get it quicker than that. We're looking at some other ways to have assistance with those back reports because they are so important. So we are looking at some other actions to try to help with that, as we did with borrowing people from other departments. So,
okay, thank you.
Leslie.
David and Joe. Overtime on the sheriff's. Section 4, page 325. Given your earlier explanation, am I to assume that the actual 2011 is three times as much for overtime? I don't know. What is it, time and a half to?
For 2011, you can. The anomaly is in 2010. I believe in 2010. Is that the year that we had the retroactive, the large retroactive payment?
I believe so, yeah. Right. It was.
That affected both salary and overtime. So you recall we settled up. We went way back.
Right.
So that affects 2010. For 2011, I think that's probably, if you took the factor of 3 times that 119, it's probably
that's about where it is.
Good, yeah.
So 2012 modified is kind of funky, too. What's up with that? Do I need to add more to that, or that's it?
Well, there we go. We go from a David to a Joe. So when you look at that actual, that's David. That's that halftime thing. When you go into a budget modified, now we're full costing overtime. Okay?
Ooh,
so as you
baby.
Look at 2012 modified, that's the shorthand for modified budget, and you carry forward to the right, those are all budgeted time and a half numbers.
Thank you. Question for the sheriff and the sergeant. Hi. Local revenues, can you please tell me what examples of what that constitutes?
The local revenues?
Yep. Where's that money coming from?
So the local revenue is down on the bottom, the $140,000. That is the money generated from the civil division.
Okay, so when I come up there for several sheriff's IDs, that's the kind of thing?
Yeah, it'll go to that, to all the revenue from generated off the income executions, all the service of process that we do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Frank Proto.
Thanks. Sheriff, not all of us are on the Public Safety Committee. I want to concentrate for a minute on the executive assistant for a second.
Could you speak into the microphone, please?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Sounds like Verizon. Because the executive assistant's position that you're asking for, from what I remember from the slide and the brief outline, first, with the Public Safety Committee, I have to assume that this has been reviewed from time to time. The backlog has been reviewed by the Public Safety Committee. from time to time. So the fact that you're asking for somebody to help out shouldn't be a surprise to anybody. What's a surprise is that no one's acted on it. No one on the legislature has acted on it. Are you in jeopardy of being penalized by the state for some backlog here?
We probably could be, and I say that, that just the idea that they could take a look at that when we apply for certain grants and say, we haven't been. And I know they frown on not having the statistics up. I think that we can catch up and it'll be all right. I mean, right now I think we're all right. I'm going to be honest with you, the public safety committee, that we've pounded that home to them on and off because we've been obviously working on a lot of other issues and stuff. And we've been dealing with it the best we can, and we just figured this was the time to come back. We came last year, as you remember, and we're coming back now. So we haven't been to the public safety. We haven't been pounding.
The help that you've been getting from Cuba Heights and from Dryden, I think you said, are we paying for that time?
No, the young ladies that were there, and one of them has left Cuba Heights, were willing to give us some hand when they had some spare time with the blessing of the chiefs of both of those departments. So
thank you.
That's the inner cooperation sometimes that you're able to get, and we were thankful for it. So
thanks.
Brian Marshall.
Ken, maybe to put it in perspective a little bit, it would appear probably that the salary that's being requested is high, and especially for cleaning up a backlog of records.
Right.
Actually, what it is a confidential assistant that can take over some of the duties that are now being performed by people in the civil division that could be freed up to do that. I mean, we're not going to pay somebody the amount that you've requested to clean up a backlog of records.
That's correct, Brian. And to be honest with you, what we're trying to do here is two positions with one. Well, that's why we're presenting it the way we are. Technically, we could use the clerk and the executive, but we know we can't ask for that, and that's why we've done it the way we have.
So. Yep.
I have Martha and Mike and Peter and Leslie.
Thank you. I've got two different kinds of questions. On the executive assistant and the backlog, I'm putting those in the same. Is there anything about software? I mean, it seems like we keep hearing about software kinds of solutions that help people be more efficient. Do we have an outdated system? Is there something better that's out there that could help?
I'll let Jeremy speak to that.
Actually, when the backlog first started is when the capital project of the Spillman Technologies, the mobile data terminals, it was also that we moved into that system in December of 2010, which happened to be the same year we lost that other fourth civilian in July of 2010. So as soon as we went there, we were, one, learning a new system, learning a new way of operating, plus being down staff, and we've just never been able to dig out.
Okay, so we have the software, we just haven't caught up to using it fully yet.
And having the time and the manpower to do it, correct.
Okay. Well, at least that's one expense we don't have to go through. I'm looking for board information about board outs, and I found on page... in section 4, page 331 at the bottom, and then page 336. And in both places, you've got medical and boarding combined. Can you give us a sense of what the board out costs have been for, I know 2012 we're still in the middle of. Do you know about what that will be?
What the total has been over...
I mean, maybe if you could give us 20, maybe you don't have it now, but if you give us 2011 board out costs and then kind of where we are at the moment.
Right here.
Actually, the medical is kind of stable, isn't it? So
it can be. One of the things we did with medical, for like dental and things like that, that got really extravagant because we had somebody that was accepting... the Medicare and everything like that. We lost those people. They didn't want us anymore there. They claimed we were hurting their customers' base or whatever. We lost them. We had to go to somebody else. It was very expensive.
Now we have, say, the bus that actually comes. We don't have to transport anymore. The people actually come for the bus now and park it outside our facility, and our people just come outside. So that has helped. So, yeah, the medical care, I believe, has stayed pretty, but we had our moments of ups and downs there for in the dental care alone.
I mean, is that bus just for dental?
Yeah, we have to supply that when requested for emergency purposes. So, yeah. We don't have the figures with us on that, Michael, with our board outs. The board outs, as we stated many times during the public safety meetings, obviously have been up and down. And as I even told you today, that last Friday I left and there was 9 and came back in Monday and there was 23 board outs. Yeah, exactly. So, it surely is an issue. Why we've been thinking outside the box for other things, but it has been. And we don't have a clear cut answer for that. That just on Monday just blew my mind. But we're busy. I mean, people are getting arrested, and it's not the college kids being back either. That's what somebody thought. No, it has nothing to do with them, to be honest with you.
Okay. So. If I could just ask, I know the committee gets the table for how many people. I am interested in the dollars, and
right.
If you could sort of put together a couple years back and a projection for next year, that'd be great.
Right. Okay.
Kevin can do that for you, Mark. And Ken.
Okay.
I have Mike, Peter, and Leslie.
Sheriff, I was wondering about the overall increase in the jail budget. We're seeing almost 4.5% increase this year, which is more than in the sheriff's basic budget.
Right.
And I'm not seeing what's driving that level of an increase.
Well, some of it was to do, as I said, I believe with the contract was part of it. And I don't know what else.
The majority is the salary and the fringes.
Yeah, the salary and the fringes. That's what I thought. But we had settled the contract last year, right, Joe?
Yes.
Right.
Could I just kind of add to it? The way this contract was structured, you may recall that starting salaries were set lower than what we had before. Ending salaries were set higher. There were some assumptions made about attrition rates that would occur in the department. But also there was a cost that you're really not seeing in this budget, but there was a significant increase in the copay contribution of correction officers that shows up on our overall fringe account. So it used to be that they made one copay for a 3-month supply of mail order drugs. It went to 2, and the amount per increment of the formulary went up. I think it's beyond what any of the other unions are. So there was a significant give back on the health side. It shows up on our health benefits account.
I see.
And I should say, too, I mean, the attrition rate that we had expected in terms of folks leaving the payroll, we're not hitting our numbers yet. So we're expecting that it's going to be a little more expensive than we thought in the near term. Ultimately, those people will leave. But in terms of near-term savings, we're not quite hitting our numbers yet.
How off?
I think there's been – we had expected 3. I think there's – has there been 1?
Yes, we had one new hire just recently, so yes, there has been.
Right.
One or two. No, it might have been 2, to be honest with you, because I have a female that we hired the last time, and we just hired a new male. So there's been 2.
So every time that happens, you go from a very high-paid employee to it's in the mid-30s that we would pay. So, again, we're not quite where we had expected to be. That's for this year.
Peter.
I... I'd like to go back to a point that Frank just raised, namely, where was the Public Safety Committee? How come they didn't do something about this? Just in defense of the committee, let me tell you that this backlog exploded exponentially. We learned about it. I think this year was the first time we saw something that really looked quite alarming, and when we looked at how fast it was growing, it was clear that what was happening, it was that it was the result of a budget decision that we all made in good faith a couple of years ago to eliminate a position. And the time I saw it, I said it was intolerable. It was really bad if you don't know what your numbers are till 2 or 3 years later. And I was prepared to argue just as strongly as I could for the position, but I'm pleased that I don't have to argue for it. But it has been a relatively short time when it has been as bad as this. And now I believe that it will go away at the moment. So.
Thanks, Peter. Loveland.
So I'm assuming that our numbers for the jail staff, the corrections officers, matches with the recommendation or requirement of the Commission of Corrections?
As far as the number of staff that we have, yes. Right now we are at minimum, but yes, we do meet their qualifications right now. That's correct.
Okay. And on page 331, under medical and board out, there are no FTEs, but isn't like a doctor or a nurse or somebody part of that? Of that cost? It's a the doctor is a contract, but don't we have a nurse?
Contract with a doctor, and we also have a full-time nurse.
So the full-time nurse is reflected in that medical and board out cost?
No, not in that.
No.
They're
not there.
That is not, no.
Thank you.
Right. No, it is not.
Anyone else? Frank.
Just to pick up on that,
nurse?
That's just the medical that's related to the board outs.
No, they don't.
No.
It's the whole.
It's
the
whole piece?
Yes,
because I remember a couple of years ago, we had a situation where there was a prisoner who was boarded out, and talk about exponential expenses. They had a medical expense that I think ate up half or two-thirds of the whole medical budget.
And that can happen, unfortunately. We've had a couple close calls over the last year and a half, and we were able to use some creative thinking again and avert that issue, Frank. So, yeah, it can happen. We keep on top of it the best we can, and if we can do something about it, we do. But we obviously have certain things that we definitely have to do. But we keep on top of that, and we try to manage it the best we can. And once in a while, we even get a complaint from people thinking we're not doing what we do. We are doing what we're supposed to do, but sometimes we, can try to do something else to save a few dollars, to be honest with you. But, yeah, you never know. Man, We've had a few times.
Jim, ask a quick follow-up. I'm just trying to find a nurse. So is the nurse reflected in the salary and wages for the office and jail? That's where that position is. Okay.
Anyone else? Thank you. Sheriff.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Yeah, I got to go to bed.
Section 2. Thank you. We'll do that.
We can run through it real quick.
Do you want to do it now?
Just what is in section 2?
If everyone wants to spend 10 minutes, we can whip through it. You prefer to go?
You have that option.
Let's just get through it.
Go ahead.
What do you want to do?
We're scheduled till 8:30, so we're just going to be running late next time.
Okay, this will only. I can do this in 5 minutes.
Okay, go ahead.
Unless you stop me.
Tell us where to look.
Go for
okay,
it.
I'm under tab.
5 minutes.
At the beginning.
I begin tab 2. Although tab 1 is some general information, including contacts for yourself and department heads. Tab 2 is really the important. I think it's a really important section to the budget. And much of it is new to this budget. And let me walk through quickly, begin on page 1. This is one of the first times that you've ever been able to see the entire county budget by line item. So if anybody asks you, how much does the county spend for salaries and wages, you know we're spending or propose to spend $35.729 million. And you can go all the way down through this budget to understand where the county proposes to spend its money for the upcoming year, and look at the large revenue accounts as well. So it's a consolidated budget. But and give credit to Kevin for putting these things together. Toward the bottom of that page, there's also some of the key information that you and your constituents are going to want to know about. If we look at the net local budget of $79.9 million, how do we pay for that? Well, it's in the next section of numbers under the heading of Revenue Supporting Local Budget. You see that the sales tax represents $35 million. The property tax, as proposed, is $43.7 million, and that we've applied $840,000 in reserves. That's where that local comes from. And then what's that mean in terms of property tax rate? It's right there. What's the effect on the average home it's there also. So it's a really nice summary of everything in our budget. And I have to tell you, a couple of years ago, if anybody had asked me, how much does the county spend? I don't know that I could have told them, because in the budget document, it would be very hard to find that total number.
But this is just local. This isn't.
No, this is the whole budget. So we spend $164 million in all of the departments you'll be looking at, including all the enterprise accounts. Our total budget is $164. When you subtract out the applied revenues, the local budget is $79.97 million. So it's a full picture. The next page, going quickly through here, the unallocated revenues. A lot of revenues are attributable to departments. You heard some tonight. Lee Shurtleff has revenues that are generated and applied to his department. But our larger revenue sources are not. They're unallocated. And this is a listing of what is in unallocated revenues. And the giant ones there, the sales tax, obviously. And then payments in lieu of taxes. Those are the two largest items in unallocated revenues.
And there's an $800,000 that covers the finance department's cost.
Right. We forgot to footnote it, although next year we will. Next page is a picture of the county's roster. Again, in terms of steps forward here, I think it's a pretty good way of presenting our entire roster. And it focuses only on what do we have in 2012 and what have we proposed in 2013 to get a quick fix. Page 4 is a new page. We've tried to isolate the hard mandates, what we now call the mandates. We have to do it, and we are told how to do it. And there they are. And you can see the large categories of mandates here and how much they've gone up between 2012 and 2013. And as I said during the budget presentation, if you want to know why our levy is up by $1.4 million, here it is. It's right there. The next page, page 5, is also new to the budget, and we've heard you ask about this page often. It's benefits. How much are we spending for benefits? And in truth, we distribute those benefits across every budget, so it's hard to figure out what are we putting into the pension system for next year. How much are we spending for health insurance? And there it is. You can look at those simple line items. You can understand where those fringes are going. On page 6, it's not new, but it's a new format that conforms with the new reporting requirements, and it's our fund balance. Mm-hmm. And here it is. I mean, this is, as David laid out in Budget and Capital a while ago, there's a whole new way of accounting for our reserves. So you begin with the large number, $23.4 million. You have to deduct things where we've committed some of those reserves. You have to show clearly and in categories what those reserves are for. And what's left over is to be called unassigned general fund balance. And it's $15.7 million. You can see how it changes as you read across. And you can look down. This is another question that we often receive from you. And we thought, let's get it in the budget. What does that represent in terms of the unassigned general fund balance as a percent of our budget? It's a common question. And it's 11.4% at the end of 2011. And if you were to approve this budget, including some draws on fund balance, it would be 10.4% of our general fund budget. So there it is. On the next page, we summarize each of the fund balances. So you've got them right there on a single piece of paper. On page 8, it's rollover. This is not new. You've seen it before. It's a good way of trying to keep account of how much we are applying in rollover. On page 9 is the property tax cap summary, and at the time this was printed, we believed it was going to be 3.31%. It's actually going to be a little bit less than that. We now believe it's going to be 3.15%, but we wanted to show you what it was when the budget was prepared, and we'll do the adjustments later, and where we are with respect to this budget. We're at 3.48%, and there's the increase in the levy to $1.4 million. So there, I think, is a really good snapshot of the budget, and helps answer a lot of the questions that commonly come to us. And then I'm going to quickly, I think Kevin has done a great job throughout. The summary of over targets, you saw it last year, was pretty cosmetically a little cluttered. And I'm in Section 2, page 11. I think this is a real nice summary of all the OTRs under Tab 2. Tab 3 we've looked at with the capital already. And then quickly I'm going to close out and just remind you what's in the departmental sections. And I think the only one that I really want to focus on is the first page of every department. For the first time ever, you know what a department's budget is. Mental health has how many functional units? 15 or 20 functional units?
Yeah.
And to find out where their money is going, you would have had to sit there with an adding machine and do it yourself. This is the first time that at the front of every budget, you can understand where each department's money is going and where their money is coming from. And then behind there are all those functional breakdowns. You can see programmatically where the money's going. Same consolidated FTE report, and then everything gets pretty traditional after that. So in terms of trying to give you a document that's understandable and comprehensible, I remember the first time I looked at the old budget format, and I tried to figure out how much the county's spending in overtime. Couldn't do it. And even when you went to a departmental budget, we had overtime by position. So if you had 20 different positions in a budget, you had to add up 20 different little overtime accounts to figure out what the overtime budget was.
And you had to know what that account line was.
You had to know code.
You still don't know.
You had to know code. So we've tried to give this to you in a format where you can read it in English and you can understand where the money's going, which we hope will help you ask questions and get answers as you look through the budget. That was 5 minutes.
Good job. I have one hand. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, this is terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank Kevin.
I think you like it, don't you, John?
I find this a very readable, useful document. And yeah. I think as your constituents look at it, they're going to understand what we do also. So, yeah,
I appreciate this. This is great. I'm looking at the Medicaid line. Well, there are a couple places where if you look at the which page is the mandate?
2-4. Section 2, page 4.
Section 2, page 4. Okay. Medicaid increased 3.8%.
Right.
Now, we were supposed to be on a 3% cap. Is that the 53rd week?
It is.
Okay.
Yep.
And on the FTEs, that's page 3. Do we have, I guess it's a really complicated calculation of how many are people are full net, or like if you, what's the FTE unreimbursed, you know, where it's the net local cost? And maybe that's too complicated, because I know a lot of people are kind of two-thirds or one-third or... But then there are some positions that are entirely grant-funded.
That's correct, too. It's very, very difficult to do that. I'm not sure I'd know how. I mean, there's probably a way, but I'm not sure I'd know how to do that.
Well, maybe the grant fund, the positions that are grant-funded might be more what I'm looking for. In other words, the functions that are not, that we're doing because we have a grant.
If you would consider that a work in progress, that's probably the best way to look at it. We've tried to look at the new payroll system to see if we can code positions like that. Just put an F next to funded or unfunded and G next to grant and so forth. And it's turned out to be a pretty tricky exercise.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Carol Lesenbrine.
Yeah, I have several questions. On page 2-2, where you have the pilots,
right,
listed as unallocated revenues.
Yes.
Why are they considered unallocated if they're just...
It just means that they come to a central account, so they're not apportioned to specific departments. So COFA doesn't get a part of the pilots and finance doesn't get it. They just come to the county. So they're unallocated.
Is that treated differently than other property tax
revenue?
No.
It's
unallocated
revenue
as well.
Yeah, it's okay. These are non-property tax.
On page 2-6, is there a discussion in the past about a recommended percentage of the budget that we should keep as a fund balance,
right,
as a percentage of the general fund?
Yeah, and by policy, our number is 5%. By kind of rating agency minimum standards, it's more like 10%. And if you go to, is it GFOA that we looked at when we did a presentation a while back, it's more like 20. It's a few months, a couple months, 2 months worth of revenues that you're supposed to keep back. So in some respects, it's in the eye of the beholder. I think David
is... Yes, I want to hear the answer from David before
we lose
him.
Well, I mean, it's really the circumstances, because you could have... meeting the test, but it's really the environment you're operating under. And when you look at the so much of our, because we're accrual-based revenues, how much is real cash versus how much is receivables? and you have $40 million worth of state and federal receivables in the budget, and at any one time probably that's close to $8 million of paper that you may receive, but you don't know when. So it's more critical what is your liquidity balance relative to the size of your budget than what is the size of your fund balance, because you can't operate on paper. You have to operate on liquid assets.
So where? So by that standard, so
Last year we made a big point that our liquidity was dangerously low. We recovered during 2011 substantially, where our cash balances equaled our fund balances. The year before, they did not equal. Cash did not equal fund balance.
So where do we see our liquidity?
Well,
here?
It depends on where at the how does is New York State in a holding back money? So it changes every day. And
okay. We need to phone this guy. And then the next is just my last question, is a more open-ended question. When we've gone over this stuff in the past, sometimes you've been able to point to spots in the budget or in these first pages where we might want to look for changes in our assumptions, that ways in which it may have changed from the time that you first put the budget together till now. How much might we expect to get back from the state? What's our liquidity? Are there numbers here that we could consider, whether these are the assumptions we're comfortable using or whether we ought to be adjusting them?
Okay, on the big ones, I've stated our assumptions. Sales tax is the biggest one. I've stated the assumptions in the presentation, which is growth of 2% this year and 2% again next year. Again, for a lot of the revenues pilots, I explained what the assumption was there. I think at this point, the only place where I'm getting anxiety at all, I think, is in gas prices. That's not a huge factor in the budget, but gas prices are concerning me. And again, in terms of the assumptions in the budget, in terms of the document, again, the cap, we'd estimated a little bit high. We thought it was 331, it's more like 315. But other assumptions in here, I'm feeling pretty good about the way we set up the budget.
And is there anywhere where we might not have to be quite as conservative as what you have projected?
If we could have been, I think I would have been. I mean, we can talk about whatever you'd like to talk about, but I think it's a prudent budget. I think the important thing is we haven't done anything in here that's going to come back to haunt us next year. I think it's a very prudent, stable budget that we've given you.
And let me add that you haven't done anything like that over the last two or three years. Leslie.
I have two very simple questions. One, where is our target fund balance reflected? In the past,
It's on 2.7.
It's on 2.7. So if we were to hit our target fund balance, which is only 5%, you would need to have $7.4 million. In reserve. In fact, we are at 15.7, so we're more like 10%.
Thanks for confusing me, Joe. I got it. And my second question, real simple, on 2-1, what are SB agencies? What is that? Contribution to
sponsored agencies. It would be TC3, the library. Who else is? Those are the big
TCAT.
Ones. TCAT. Right.
Okay, thank you, because I thought that was a huge number.
Yeah.
Now I get it.
Brian.
So only those three?
I believe so. Reflected in the agencies.
Those would be the big three, at least, Les. And if there are others, we'll let you know.
Okay, sorry, Jim. I do have to ask a follow-up question. And the Human Services Agencies.
I think TCAD. Is TCAD in there as a sponsored agency, Kevin?
Say in a second.
Because that went up, as you know, significantly in this budget.
Right. So TCAD is in there. TCAT, TCAD, TC3.
And the library.
Library. And is there a place where the Human Services Coalition Agency somewhere is reflected?
Most of them fall into program expense.
Most of them fall into program
expense. Most of the agencies we support fall into program expense.
And they do have their separate budgets, so if you want to see that, it's in there, too.
Okay.
Al O'Brien.
A couple of quick ones. First off, how did we save $75,000 in unemployment insurance?
I don't know if we saved it or if it's simply we looked at the 2012 budget and we're looking at the actual trends and we realized we didn't need to put as much money in 2013.
Because we don't really, and we get billed quarterly.
What are you looking at?
It's actual expenses.
2.5.
Yeah.
I mean, I would love to be able to do that, me, personally.
Well, we're self-insured.
So
it also reflects the number of people we've laid off and that. But again, it's... You see a number like that, it's generally we're looking at what the trends are and feel comfortable that we can adjust downward for 2013.
Now, I love looking at things like this. It just makes it a whole bunch clearer, but it also gets my mind going, and some things just don't make any sense. And I'll start right at the beginning with salary and wages. We have more FTEs in this budget than we had last year. We have contracts that came... that matured, and yet that's down.
That's right.
And that's not fringes, because I see where the fringes went down.
Right. Without getting too much into the weeds, is that all breakage? No. It relates to the way our long-term wage agreement is structured with most of our employees. So when you look at the cost of the bonus for this year in 2012, it's actually more than the 2% that will replace that bonus in 2013. There's actually a savings the county will realize in 2013 because of the settlement that we struck with most of our employees.
And that's already been paid.
The bonus has been paid, but again, that's an in and out. So we paid it once in 2012, and it has been paid to everybody. But that now comes out. So
Right. Then
you start 2013 basically at the 2009 wage base. We built that up by 2%. So the bonus was a little more than 2%.
Okay.
It's also movement of money from a fringe account in 2012. We planned to deal with this increase in salaries for the bonus, if you will, for 2012.
Through
increased
fringes.
Putting some money in a fringe account, in a general fringe account. Well, that during the year, that money got moved from the fringe account to salary and wages. So when you see actuals for 2012, it will be higher than this number that you see at the top of this.
Okay.
Because that's a budget number.
Okay.
So the budget, it looks a little strange.
It's actually been, that's in the modified, I think.
Yeah.
That movement, I think, is in the, but.
So tell me, the very first figure, $35 million for last year, has that got the bonuses in it? No?
The bonuses were 2012.
Yeah, but the modified budget has been adjusted to reflect the bonuses that were paid this year.
Okay. I'm just thinking about.
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, if I'm confused, somebody that's out there is going, wait a minute,
this
doesn't make any sense.
I'll say it again. The cost of wages in 2013 will be slightly less than the cost of wages in 2012. And that's a function of the contract that we negotiated with most of our employees. So it is a real savings that has been real important to the way this budget is structured, which is why we have to keep acknowledging that our employees have participated in the shared sacrifice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Kevin, is there a possibility of moving the fringes line up from where it is in the list to be next to the salary line at some time in the future?
For another budget year, yes.
Yeah, it would be easier to see them together, I think.
Right under premium pay, or?
I don't have a preferred spot. I just up in the general area where all of that is.
Anyone else?
Martha.
Yeah, on page 2.5, the benefits, health insurance down, or up 5.5%. I guess I thought I remember hearing 9.5% or something.
Right. There again, it's an adjustment. As we look at actual trends and base 2013 not on what we budgeted in 2012, but actual trends that we're seeing, it's 9.5% on top of the projected expenditures for 2012. So what that's meaning is the 2012 numbers are looking a little high compared to what our actual experience has been so far this year. So that's the factor. So it's 9.5% on top of projected actual expenditures this year.
So we may have budgeted too much in 2012.
Yeah, I mean, frankly, we had not had a full year's experience of the
company. When we put the budget together, we didn't have any experience at all with
Julie and Pam.
I'm looking at the 2-7 fund balance where our target for the general fund is 5%. Is there any reason why we aren't considering making that 10% to join the rest of the world in good practice?
I think that's a policy discussion that should happen.
Yeah. Is budget time the right time to do that?
Yes.
I don't know.
Jim, do you have a...
Could I hear that question again?
It's probably the right time to have it, but I was thinking that when we got a new director of finance, that would be the first question we would ask.
The general fund balance target for us has been sitting at 5%, although for years David has said it should be higher, and tonight we heard 10%.
Right.
And it seems to me that while we're talking about the budget, we should talk about changing our policy.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about that in budget.
Right. Yeah. Pam, you had your hand up. Go ahead.
I did, and this is, we're hopping all over the place here, but I wanted to go back to the health insurance for a minute. And do we have any way of measuring whether joining with the other counties, whether we've actually experienced any savings on the county level?
Yeah. Well, the savings, we drove down the cost of administering the plan by essentially, it was something like $64 per contract to $32 per contract. That's the primary savings, and from the county standpoint, that we receive. The growth in health insurance is stabilized.
You mean the growth in the cost?
The growth from year to year is not fluctuating from 1 year 2% to next year 15%. So from the county standpoint, we are benefiting from stability and predictability. Mm-hmm. But the real immediate savings was driving down the cost of administering the plan, which saved us about $360,000 in real dollars. There's so many variables about the actual cost of medical care, even if it stays stable, goes up by 8-10% a year, even if you have the same number of claims from inflation.
But what you're saying, David, is that the percent is lower, the denominator is lower.
The real savings, the people who save the most are the entities that were community rated,
right,
which all anybody under the small municipalities with 100 employees, they received their costs went down by about 25%.
Right, but for us, the denominator went down. If you lower the baseline cost and you go up, you still go up 9%.
Right.
You're 9% of a smaller number. On this question of the fiscal, of the policy of the target fund balance, since at the moment you're projecting 10.4% after the 2013 allocations, do I understand that changing the policy wouldn't acquire a change in the numbers? I mean, under this set of numbers.
You mean for future years? It would be for future years.
Well, Maybe I don't understand the question.
All right. Dula just asked about changing the policy to change the number on page 2-7 from 5% to 10%. You know, if that just means changing a policy number, and that's fine, but because we already have the 10% right now in this budget, that's one thing. However, our general rule of thumb, we have been generously over our target fund balance. So my concern is, if we were to change that 5% to a 10%, does that rule of thumb escalate that so really we're looking for 12 or 14 or whatever million fund balance?
I wouldn't think so, no. In my mind, it wouldn't. It's really ultimately your call, but in my mind, it wouldn't. Once you've hit kind of your target at that level, I don't think there would be a multiple on top of that. I mean, there could be times like David is talking about where, you know, if the state goes back to not paying its bills and we have a liquidity issue, we may choose to put more money aside to make cash flow. But again, that's going to be your call, and it will come as the situation arises.
Okay. Last question. Go ahead.
Well, I just want to clarify that I asked the question about the fund balance, concerned that we weren't being conservative enough, because I remembered hearing David talk to us in the past about being more comfortable with a larger number there, not a smaller one. So I don't know that I'd want to see us reduce that. It was a different question that I asked. Is there some? I mean, so I think there are places here where I might, if I were doing it all by myself, choose to be more conservative. We've also found places in the past where we, you know, were able to decide at the last minute, or, you know, as we came to the budget decisions in late October, to be a little less conservative than we thought we had needed to be. So I. Those were two different questions. I just wanted to...
Sure.
And a question that's a little bit unrelated is for Kevin, unless you want to comment on this.
Well, if I could just kind of close the conversation on fund balance and the Kevin thing. I would think in the future, I mean, regardless of what your policy is and how high you want to set that bar, that there'd be an accompanying part of that policy that would say if you are in excess of that and if you choose to apply that excess, that it would be for one-time items, so you don't become dependent on the application of reserves to balance ongoing operating expenses. Mm-hmm. I think the county's had a good track record in doing that, but those two things ought to be attached in policy as you think about amending it.
Just the technical question for Kevin is just these pages that are replacement pages, if we're looking at the budget on the electronic version, will these changes be reflected?
They're already reflected on the web. If you go to the website and use that version.
Download the budget again.
Okay.
I just think to talk about a big policy, this is not the right moment and time to talk about a major policy.
I think we said that earlier. Anyone else? What I'd really like for you to do is, for the next meeting, please spend a bunch of time writing down questions for Weights and Measure. He's the first one. He's the first one on the agenda.
Yes, I have a storm.
Thank you all for coming.